Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 512. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Football's back, baby!
That has been all of you. Tried your best.
Gonna try and keep it in as long as possible.
that was as long as I could take it away from myself.
No, football is back, and so is Earl.
Yeah, but I don't have anything to say about football. It's just, I guess. We already stuff with last week, but Madden talk, so.
And Jeff is here.
Yeah.
So a lot has happened in the past 7 days. A lot has happened today, actually. They were recording that, so. Some new games came out over... since we last recorded. Let's jump into some of them. Who here has played The Avengers?
I have to say it?
You have.
You have to admit that you played.
Can we talk about football?
Wow.
I'm interested to hear Earl's take on this because he is very down on it. I am less down on it.
Yeah, I'm far less down on it. Damn.
I'm not down on it exactly. I am less than enthused with it. Let's go with that.
So why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I mean, pretty much, I got tricked into playing this game because everybody's talking like how great the campaign is. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess the campaign is different than what they had in the beta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it out. I'll give it an honest shot. And I played it. And I'm like, oh, okay, like the first mission, it gives some texture to what we've seen countless times before with the A-Day event where you get to see it from Kamala Khan's point of view. And I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying this. And then it kind of goes into the mission that everybody has seen countless times already.
And yeah, that's a bad mission.
This is more dumb than anything, but so you do that mission, and it's essentially a tutorial mission.
Yeah.
You go through. You get to try out all the characters.
Yeah. For like you kind of go through some of the game, and then the game had you do a tutorial mission later on because you have to do the harm room where it's like, oh, we're going to show you some of the moves. Now I'm like, you've already shown me the tutorial. To be fair,
by the time I got to the horror room, I could not remember any of them. It was like, here's Iron Man. I'm like, oh, fuck. I hadn't... gone by the time I got there.
It was... Well, that's on you. But it's not even stuff like that. It's stuff like, oh, let's teach you how to dodge. Like, you taught stuff, me how stuff, to dodge.
And stuff you've been doing for the last six missions.
Or like as Hulk, like for the boss fight with the Abomination, you have to dodge, so you have to know how to do that. So it's like, oh, why are you showing me this again?
I haven't. That's where I'm at. I just unlocked the harm room, so I haven't done that yet. So that's probably going to be frustrating for me.
It's not even that difficult. It's just like we've done a tutorial. Why are we back here?
Yeah.
And honestly speaking, that is kind of my beef with the game in general. Is like like I said, I played it. I got through the first mission, and Kamala Khan is a really interesting character. I think centering it around her was interesting. She's a new character; she brings a level of excitement to the game. But then you kind of go into the missions, and it's the same things I complained about when I had the beta, where it's just go here. Break these points, fight these enemies, rinse and repeat.
So, do you mean after you get through the...
Essentially, once you get Kamala to, Utah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it pretty much becomes what the beta was.
Okay. And that's where, like, you select missions from the map, and...
Yeah. You select missions from the maps. It's the same, go here as Hulk, break into the SHIELD facility. Go here as Iron Man to Okay, I will grant them. The Iron Man mission I did was kind of nifty. If says Iron Man, you basically fly through a danger zone as fast as you can, avoiding traps and stuff. And I thought that was really cool. But again, the big takeaway from that is then you just do a battle with random AIM soldiers again. In a really nondescript, it could be from any video game location.
Got it.
Now, to be fair, isn't this how comic books work, though? Like, most of the battles are against random, nondescript people.
But you're trying to, like, okay. I'm not gonna defend comic books here.
I'm just saying, like, that is the source material they're using. So
to a degree.
Well, I mean, like, how is it different than, let's say, a game we all agree is good, like Arkham Asylum, yep. Where you're
Arkham Asylum is like, because Arkham Asylum, it's not even about the enemies. It's about Arkham Asylum. Well, one, Arkham Asylum has the novelty of like dressing everybody up as Joker. Like, I get that AIM is a thing in the Marvel Universe, but it really does create really generic, nondescript enemies.
Yeah, they are just like robot soldiers or, you know, regular soldier dudes. I get that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I am wondering, like, what's the alternative? You know, because, like, you know, Doom might have his soldiers or whatever, and, like, all of them have their goons, and you have to fight,
I guess the alternative to that is, because, I mean, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games do it. It's like you could fight the same people, just dress them up. You can have arcade folks. You can have arcade folks. You can have Mojo folks. You can have, not Mojo. So yeah, he ends up being the ultimate big bad.
It's not necessarily about fighting the fodder. It's about the fact that all you're fighting is the same fodder.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. I could see that as a
criticism. But I don't want to be like irrational and be like, I hate it because of this. But it's just like if the base game was better, if the base game was more fun, if I enjoyed the loop more, I wouldn't care what I was fighting. I mean, like, yes, like Spider-Man is a good example. You're mostly fighting thugs in masks the entire time, but they make film like Spider-Man. They have him talking like Spider-Man. They have him acting like Spider-Man. And that stuff doesn't bother you. It's like, it's kind of like a movie. If you watch a great movie, you don't care about its blemishes. You watch a bad movie, you notice everything wrong with it.
Yeah, I think when the game starts moving to that open world mission structure, like, I love the opening. Until you get to that point, I think it's a pretty great game.
That's where I'm at right now. It's like where I just did the first that first mission
right.
for Shield, where you go with Hulk and to that snowy wherever, but like up until then, it's a good action adventure game. Like,
but when it starts opening up and you get like the first like quote unquote tutorial mission that they throw at you on the map, then you start to notice like it's a little generic. Like when they were like hardcore into storytelling and following Kamala and following Hark, it was great. But as soon as like they backed out, like here's an open world area you can walk around and do stuff in. It lost like personality, and you could see that it kind of lacked that flavor it had before, which is bad. And they kind of catered to that, like I want to say Destiny-esque structure, invoking the evil D word. It kind of like lost everything that was really really keeping me engaged. Like I liked Kamala, I liked like the back and forth between her and Hulk and the way that they had integrated it into the gameplay, but once you started doing those missions, all that was gone.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with even when you recruit Iron Man. I really like that. I like the dynamic between him and the Hulk. I like that they actually play off the fact that like A-Day was a big event for them, and then it's like, okay, we're over it, we're good, and it doesn't come up anymore. And I get that they have to put it in this mode because that's the type of game it is, but it's also very disappointing.
Yeah, because it could have been a very different type of game. Like if they had struck something more linear, something like more focused on the narrative would have been awesome, but they decided not to do that.
Or like, If the single player mode was this, and like they did like you could replay some of these missions in multiplayer, like okay, fine, I'm okay with that. But yeah, like the story missions then start to become like, oh, go here, do this. Jarvis will like key you in as to why this is important. And then, again, very minor complaint because it all blends together, is it does get to a point where it's just like, oh, all of these missions are on the same HUD, so you just have to pick whichever. Like, they do tell you which ones are the story missions, but
They story missions, though? Do they go back? Like, do the story missions, are they actually, like, scripted kind of missions?
Story missions.
Okay.
There are actual, like, because, I mean, like, right now, right, my team, then to tell you how far I got into the game, I recruited Iron Man, I did Iron Man solo mission, I think I did some, some AIM research, stuff like that, did the HARM mission, I powered up the helicarrier, and then it's just kind of, like, so I really have Iron Man, Kamala, and Hulk right now, so there's, like, three more characters, this door, Black Widow and Captain America Tony Stark.
Got it. Okay. Well, I was having fun with it. You guys have ruined my enjoyment.
You could keep. I would keep playing it. I think you will probably continue to have fun. It's just it has less personality than I wish it would otherwise.
I wish they had focused on Ms. Marvel. Like, just make it a Ms. Marvel game. And I guess I understand why. Like, it's shitty why, but. Why they couldn't do it, but
why?
Because they're gonna go, oh, people aren't gonna buy, like, and it's been proven time and again that it's not true,
make the single player a Ms. Marvel centric game and have like the rest of the characters in multiplayer, and so you have a very focused single player mode. And then you can unlock these characters and play with them in multiplayer. I don't see what would be wrong with that. I would be fine with that.
It almost feels like
it's fun to play as Ms. Marvel. She's a well-designed character.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like she's a great character in this game. And I'm not gonna say I like all the characters because I hate to be that guy. I've gotten to the point where like you hear Nolan North, you hear Troy Baker. You're like, okay, doesn't do anything for me. If anything, it's distracting because I know your voices and you're not Iron Man. You're not Bruce Banner. I usually complain about this when they do it in animation, but I am disappointed they didn't at least try to go for sound effects for their MCU and just went with, like, oh, this is a video game. Let's get the video game voice actors who are in everything.
I enjoyed playing as Thor in the tutorial.
Thor was probably my favorite character in the tutorial. I look forward to unlocking him for real. Like, so I'll be playing more of this game, by the way.
I also enjoyed interacting with him as Kamala.
As Kamala, that was that was probably.
Oh, and those moments are cute, and I like that everybody read her fanfic. I like that everybody's given a moment to shine. And again, this is kind of to the point I make it is, and I get why they do it. But like the fact that the Avengers dynamic is so fun and enjoyable in that first scene, and then the thing they do is like, oh, we're just gonna get rid of them as a team for the duration of the campaign, so you don't even have that going for it.
Right.
Yep. So yeah, but like Tony said, I will continue to play it. It's not like it's awful. It's not like I'm crying myself to sleep when I play it. It's a fine, functional game.
I mean, you might be. I'm just saying.
I mean, I might be. Who knows? But yes, it's a fine functional game.
All right. The other big game, well, I guess there were two that have come out, but the other big game that I know that we've played, because Jeff and I have played it, is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. I think that's what it's called, right, Jeff?
Yep.
They must have changed the definition of big game. Must have.
Whoa.
I mean, it's big. It has two full games in it, a ton of content.
I'm guessing the actual disc is the same size as the other discs. I'm just saying.
It's the same size disc, yes, as the original one that came on a CD. I don't know, this game looks great, plays great. I know Jeff's been playing a ton of it.
Yeah. You know, I beat the game, so kind of.
How do you beat the game exactly? It's just
get all the levels. But, you know, there's more stuff to do. Like, I'm sure there's people who would say, oh, you have not beat it because you have not unlocked this character or whatever. But,
well, that's why I'm always curious about certain games where, like, you know, some games it's easy enough to be like, okay, I reached the final boss, credits rolled.
The credits don't even roll. I don't know. But
I don't think there are credits. It's basically an arcade game, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, there's what Tony Hawk 1 has like eight or nine levels. Like, you get to Roswell, and that's the game. Like,
yeah,
do all the shit. There is a meter that fills up, like, tells you what your percentage is on it.
Yeah, true. So, yeah, Chris, what do you think?
I think it's really good. I also think I now suck at this game.
I've gotten better since, you know, playing this again. You know, like, it takes a while to get back, and then, you know, you get your stats. So,
yeah, as like, that's it. If you created a character, like, you start out really weak. I'm not sure if, like, you start out as Tony Hawk or somebody, like, if you're weak there as well, but
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so like, you know. Your guy has limited ability. He has limited unlocks too, right? It's like, he's like, you only have so many specials you can attach until you start unlocking challenges. It's like, you're building your character out, and then you have to find the skill points on the map.
Yeah.
Increase there.
But the levels do kind of like ramp with you. Like, the first level, yeah, like Warehouse, like, a very standard character could play that pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, then there's parts later in the game, like, there's levels I got to later in the game where some of my stats weren't built up enough to complete all the goals in those levels. So, like, there's definitely, like, goals later on where it's like, if you don't have your air stat or your, like, ollie, like, whatever, like, your jump, your height, like, you're not gonna be able to reach certain things. So,
yeah, I think I'm there now, like, on trying to do downhill jam and reach, like, something. Like, they're, like, right when you start that level, there's a hard hat to the left, and there's something to the right, and I can see it, but I can't.
I have no idea how to get that thing on the right, and, like, I don't think stats alone, I don't know, there's got to be some sort of trick to getting to that. I know exactly what you're talking about, V, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how to get up there.
I never looked it up because, as far as I could tell, like, the V is worthless. Maybe there's an achievement tied to it. I don't know. I should probably look at the achievements at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't count for your percentage completely.
Yeah, it doesn't do any, like, yeah, it doesn't do shit.
That's also my least favorite level, but
downhill jam, I can, like, now that I've gotten better at the game and my stats are, like, maxed out, I could have an okay run on it, but, like, I guess, like, that style level is not, like, how I play or whatever. I don't know. Like,
no, I like that level. Yeah, I like to find a spot, like,
yeah, exactly. That,
like, I, you know, a pool or a ramp or something, like, where I can, like, do tricks off of and, like, maybe do some grinds. Like, that's what I can do well. And this is, like, do tricks on basically a downhill run.
Yeah, you're always moving forward, basically. Yeah.
So it's hard for me to, like, get the scores on there.
Now that I've gone back to it later, like, just doing cleanup, like, grabbing some more goals and whatever, like, it does get more fun. At least for me, it got more fun to play through. But, like, yeah, when you're trying to do shit, especially when you first just reach downhill jam, it's, like, one of the final levels of the first game. It's, like, I don't know. It's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, I really still, like, even now, will struggle to get above. Like, I don't think I've gotten the 6 score on it. And I barely get the fucking, like, the
pro score, the medium score.
Which is, like, half the size of the 6 score. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely one of my weak points, is that level.
It's been fun just watching everybody kind of reconnect with it, too. Cause,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I know Tony, you're not playing it, or Earl, I don't believe you are either, but, like, my timeline has been filled with people playing it, sharing clips, and, just talking about how, like, you know, they remember. It's weird because, like, a lot of them are like, oh, I remember playing, like, Tony Hawk back as a kid, but they're not talking about this Tony Hawk. They're talking about, like, Thug.
And, yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
And then it was like us playing these two games when we were, like, or at least I was, like, I was, like, in college when these games came out. Yeah. So, okay, it's fucking crazy to think about.
They were PlayStation era games, right? I think you played it on, what, the N64, Jeff?
I actually was introduced to it by people that had it on PlayStation.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I played it at.
Was PlayStation. And, you know, that was, like, my first exposure to the series. I was not a fan of Tony Hawk at first when I first played the games because I didn't own a PlayStation. I didn't, like, have any familiarity with it. And so I just watched people do so much better than me. And I was just like, oh, this is too hard to learn, like, in a 2-minute run while, like, a bunch of friends are watching. So at first I was like, fuck that game. Like, and then it was, like, later on, like, my girlfriend at the time was, like, into it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. Like, you know, so I bought at that point, you know, there was ones on the GameCube and shit. And so that's when I actually got into the series later, but I went back because I got so into the series that I went back and, you know, I've played them all. And
it's what I love about the original Tony Hawk and Tony Hawk 2, though, is these are 2-minute runs. Like,
yeah,
you're 2 minutes, get the biggest score, get, like, everything you can in it. It's like an old school arcade game where it's just a high score chase. And this one has way more going on for it, though. There's challenges. There's, like, the, you know,
yeah,
like, long-term challenges too. Like, stuff like if you play over time, like, you'll unlock. So it's not like, oh, you know, unlock all the levels and do this. Like, there's, like, I see Jeff's been doing a, like, speed runs and high score runs with, you know, with friends. I'm never going to compete with that.
Like, you should try on the warehouse. Like, the warehouse is, like, I think a speed run that, like, most people could do if they, like, do it enough times.
Yeah.
But, like, me and my friend have shaved it down by a lot, and I fucking hate my friend right now. But, like, I think when we talked about this game last week, I think there was, like, maybe two things that I had issue with, and one of them was, like, I like doing the goals in the level, like, collecting skate and all that. Well, I didn't know that speedrun section was in there, and then that speedrun allows you to do that. And a speedrun essentially gives you as much time as you need to do it, so you could, like, totally, like, if you don't care about your time, you can just dick around and level and redo goals all you want, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think my other complaint about the game was the clothes and the boards and stuff you buy, you can't apply to the pro skaters. I mean, I guess that's true, but, you know, I finally made my own skater, and it doesn't take long to go through the game with your skater and get stats, because you could just go through each level and collect all the stats, and then, you know, I'm basically as good as Tony Hawk now. You know, that took, like, a half hour. Like,
there's, like, a ton of stuff to unlock, too. Like, you're always unlocking stuff. And, like, there's, like, a level meter, which I don't believe was there before, so you're gaining experience every time you play. So, like, when you get new levels, like, you're unlocking new shoes or new boards or
new
hoodies and... It's cool. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like the core of the experience that you, like, is there, and it's, you know, like, kind of there, like, how you remember it. But it's like the stuff is, like, layered on top of it to give it more replayability and stuff.
It's funny. I haven't gone back to try, but I heard, like, some reviewers saying that the game actually plays a little, like, your skater's been sped up a little bit, so it plays a little bit faster. It plays how I remember it.
Well, that's, yeah, it's, you know.
But it's like they've kind of hit the right notes with it. Like, it looks how you remember. Like, that game does not look.
Yeah.
You go back to the PlayStation, it does not look like that. Yeah. But it looks how you remember it in your head, and it plays how you remember it.
And those, I think that's the best trait of a remake. Is they give you the game as you remembered it, not how it was.
Yeah.
Because some games, most games, don't age the same way they did when you were 15.
Tony Hawk 1 and 2 are rough, dude. Like, especially Tony Hawk 1. Like, go back and play that. That game is rough. Like, that. Like, there's a core there that's a great idea, and, like, it does play pretty good, but, like, it looks nasty. And you know, the game itself, like the gameplay got refined over time. That's what I kind of like love too here is like, you know, like the moveset in this game, and we've gone over this a million times, but the moveset in this game is basically what you had around Tony Hawk Underground, except you can't get off your board. That was like one of the things they added in Tony Hawk Underground. You could get off your board. I think where they're at with the moveset on this is absolutely like, I think the peak of what Tony Hawk should be. Like, it just feels fucking great. I don't, dude, I could go on in different directions about this game forever, but I actually think it's like, this game was like a 10 out of 10 for me. Like, it really is like, it's exactly what I wanted. Like, and it's, you know, these are two of the greatest games I think of all time. And to have them like, just to have them nail the remake of them is just like so fucking cool, dude.
And coming off of, and I know it was a few years ago, but coming off of Tony Hawk 5, like this is, oh good. Somebody at Activision knows what Tony Hawk was and how these games should be. Because this is great.
I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna give props to Vicarious Visions on it. I guess Activision 2, you know, it seems like they were given the time. Like, honestly, in my opinion, this game doesn't need any. It's like perfect as is. Like, you know, like, yeah, go ahead and add to it if you want or whatever. You know, like, I've encountered no real flaws in the game.
Yep. It's. I think we'll be talking about this at the end of the year for sure. At the very least, and best like remake remaster, because like it's got to be up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess Final Fantasy would be in the mix with that.
That's a weird one.
I don't know. I'm just thinking
it is a remake.
I think of stuff that like did a little bit like, you know. It's going to be so cool to get this Mario collection next week, but it's like, they're not really doing much with that. It's just kind of scaled up to HD. Yeah.
They're re-releasing those games.
Don't get me wrong. I'm excited as fuck. Okay, I can't wait. But, you know, I mean, it's one thing and it's awesome to get, but it'd be a totally another thing if they're like, guess what? We redid Mario 64 from the ground up and, you know, gave it modern graphics.
It's always one of those debates because, like we said before, it's like sometimes you want a game how you remembered it, and sometimes you want what you remember.
And it's like, and how to, you know, would Mario 64 even feel right if it was completely redone and just felt like Mario Odyssey? You know what I mean? Like, would that game feel, maybe it would feel too easy or something? Or like, I don't know what I mean? Like, maybe it would lose something by being updated more. I'm really interested to see how the games in that collection work, to be honest. Like, how the fuck is Galaxy going to play on a pro controller? How is Sunshine going to play on a pro controller? Because the triggers are different. How is the camera going to feel on Mario 64? You know, like...
It is the first time with two analog sticks, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's like...
I didn't even think about that.
Is it going to basically be like the C-stick type camera remapped to your stick? Or is it going to feel like an actual... real camera? Like, I don't know.
I mean,
probably Nintendo, it's probably the bare minimum.
Nintendo has a history of just like pulling the ROMs. Like,
I mean, it depends. Like, they go both ways because you get stuff like Link's Awakening, you get stuff like Wind Waker HD, then you get like Mario 25th anniversary, which is just All Stars ROM dump.
Right.
So,
That's what this one seems like, though. Like, they're not really. They didn't announce anything. It's just like, it's like better no major visually.
I think Sunshine and Galaxy are in HD, which is the first time for either game.
I'm excited. That alone is like, it's cool. Like, it's totally. You know, don't get me wrong, but I am interested to see some of like the finer details. And I'm leaning towards. I'm guessing didn't do that much, but. Hey man, if they fixed any of that stuff I mentioned, that'd be awesome. Like, if they fixed the camera in Sunshine just a little bit, that'd be awesome. But I guess we'll find out very shortly. Feels long now that I've beaten my games.
Did anybody play the other big game that came out this week, Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning?
No, I will play it, but
yeah, you played it. Other
games out right now.
2012.
Well, I mean, I bought it. I'm gonna play it again. But the achievements were broke on it, so I didn't start it.
I can't justify buying it because I have Amalur downloaded on my Xbox, so it's like,
yeah, I can see that.
I guess it's a new set of achievements, right? There's that.
There's a new set of achievements, and then there will be a new expansion released for this one.
Yeah.
At some point, the Fate's Horn or something like that. So.
Yeah.
So there's going to be new content. There's a reason to get this one as opposed to just, you know, holding off. But
yeah, there's just too many other games out right now. Yeah. I couldn't.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about the games right now.
Yeah, after all year of us going, it's just been rough.
Like I do think that the fall is missing like one or two like big ones, I guess, you know, like, and a lot of stuff got kicked, you know, down the line.
Oh, but there's a bunch of other ones coming out this fall. We're not even close to the meat of it.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm very happy with having a new Tony Hawk / old Tony Hawk that kicks ass and getting those Mario games. Like, I'm happy between those two things that, like, I'm just like, whatever, dude. Whatever else comes. And there's stuff we're going to talk about probably in this episode that looks really cool that just got, like, announced. So,
yep.
I mean, I don't know if you guys know what I'm referring to, but there's something out there that looks pretty cool to me.
Yeah, I have a feeling I know what you're talking about. All right, so nobody played Kingdoms of Amalur. Earl, what else have you been playing this week?
More EDF, Earth Defense Force. That remains a fun, trippy, just kind of kill stuff. Like I said, it's the perfect game for COVID for me. And I think, I mean, Dauntless. I wanted to try the new game, Spell Chasers, Spell Break.
Yes.
They asked me to create an account, and I was like, I give up. That's way too much effort. I don't want to create
any more accounts.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I started Broforce. Broforce is like the retro 2D Contra game where you play a bunch of action stars from the 80s and 90s, but not them. So you get like the Brominator, or you'll get a Chuck Broris or something like that. And it's kind of fun. Like, each one has kind of a weapon that is kind of like them. Like, what is it? Broker Texas Ranger or whatever has a he has like a short range shotgun. The Brominator has a machine gun. So like, he has a windup, but he does a lot of damage. What is it? McBruber is, I guess that's from the 2000s. He has sticky grenades, so you throw them, wait a bit, and they explode. So it's fun, and then like, the environment's destructible, so you can shoot through it. And you know, you rescue prisoners who tend to be other action heroes who then join your team. It's one hit kill for you to die. But yeah, it's a really fun game. I picked it up because I needed something that's just kind of mindless to kill some time in between while I try to figure out what my next game is going to be, which I thought was going to be Avengers, which will still happen. But yeah, it's fun, and I like the homages to all these various 80s franchises and heroes of yesteryear.
That sounds cool. I'm not like the biggest Contra fan, but that sounds like a game you would like, Jeff.
Yeah, it's one I've been. I'm surprised I haven't played yet. Put it that way.
Yeah, it was also cheap. It was like, I think, like $3 on PlayStation Store.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll get to it one day. Or I'll just play Contra again for the 8 millionth time.
Oh, right. And I did play a new game, actually. I played a game called Over the Alps. And we'll get to why in a second. But I had to add some money to my eShop account. Like I said, we'll get to one in a second, but the two Mario games they announced. And I didn't realize that the eShop max is you can only have $200 on your account. Three games, and I had some money left over, so three games is $180, give or take. And so I had 207 and it went up. So I went on the eShop and I found this game called Over the Alps. And I've been meaning to check it out. It turns out I thought it would be more action oriented, but it's a visual novel. It has a really novel style. It's like a hand drawn, like cell shaded type deal. And you basically go and you're a spy or a cop or something who's relaying your adventures to a person called Aubrey back at the main office. And you go through and like you'll get some dialogue and then you have to pick a choice and then you'll see how it plays out. So like right now, I met a woman on the train. The woman ended up being, well, okay, so this takes place in the 1930s to kind of give you context. She ends up being like a German spy. So, you know, she's double-crossing you, triple-crossing you, and you keep on running into each other. And I'm trying to outmaneuver her, but you're also trying to, like, woo her and stuff like that. It's really fun so far. It's a nice kind of difference of the types of games that I've been playing recently. So.
Nice. Jeff, what else have you been playing? Anything?
I am now in the playoffs, I think that's what they called it. I don't know how it goes, of the PGA Tour in 2K21. So I have three events left out of the season. Just fucking destroying it. I don't know if it's just like I have the settings on too easy. I don't know. Nothing really more new to say about the game. I guess maybe next week I'll have my final thoughts, but essentially they are. The game is, you know, really solid foundation, but there's like so much room for opportunity, like potential there, you know, like
hopefully this one does well enough that next year 2K can invest some more money into it and give you guys what you want.
Yeah. I just, you know, to me, the big thing that's missing is the RPG progression, but like all around every edge of the game, there's so many things you could do. Like even just the graphics could use a little bit, like, you know, come on, like, it looks okay for a game from maybe, like, 5 years ago, but come on, like, step it up. I don't know, but, you know, the fundamentals are there, and it's a lot of fun to play. Like, it's nice to have a cool, like, you know, pro golf game, you know?
I have, I played some more Madden.
Yeah, I saw you were playing earlier.
I know Earl does not like our Madden talk, but
I'm enjoying it.
I haven't run into any issues like Tony has.
They had a big patch last week.
Okay, maybe that fixed some of that. I'm playing the Fates of the Franchise mode, and that is so weird. There's some really weird stuff there. Like I come in the national championship. We're down. I lead our team to the championship, and like then the coach tells me that I have to either change positions or leave.
Right. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
So then I leave and I get, and I think this might happen to you too, Tony. Did you get drafted by Baltimore?
No. So they give you a choice where you can get drafted by whatever team will take you or by your favorite team.
Okay.
So I had my favorite team listed as the Patriots, obviously. So I was like, I want my favorite team to take me, and of course the Patriots also need a quarterback. So
yeah,
that's helpful.
Which I should have done that because then I would have ended up on the Dolphins. Instead, I end up on the fucking Baltimore Ravens. And FYI, time doesn't move in this game like you would expect it to. So like you start out Face of the Franchise in high school. It's then what, 5 years from there before you make it to the NFL.
Yeah.
So at this point, like Lamar Jackson should be in like season 6 or 7 of his career. It's season 3. Like it is this year.
Oh, you're coming into this year. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, wait, you drafted me in like the 3rd or 4th round to be the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. This guy's the last year's MVP. This makes zero sense.
They're not taking a quarterback and putting them in charge of the team this year. That's not happening.
So I am now on the Cowboys because they were like, hey, you can like stick around here and see if you get a chance to play with us. The Cowboys want, and like, all right, well, that doesn't make any sense either because Dak Prescott's a like you know, he's a Pro Bowl player, and but there's a better chance of me playing there. But the funny part of that is that's also where your buddy who from high school that has, you know, been with you, the guy who texts me and shit, that's uh-huh. where he played in the preseason game when I played for Baltimore. That's where he played. I don't know where he is now because I'm now on the Cowboys. He's not there. Like, this doesn't make any goddamn sense. And for some reason, I am now the starter of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if Prescott got injured or just like midway through my second year, they're like, you have a chance to start. Okay, on a division leading team.
Right. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm also playing Face of the Franchise mode. I'm in year 6 of my career. I just won my 3rd Super Bowl, and now they've declared an open competition for the quarterback job.
Doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, 3 Super Bowls is nothing. Come back.
Absolutely.
Well, not after the Patriots. So, I mean, is Bill Belichick still the coach? Like, you still playing under him?
No, Mike Tomlin is now the coach.
Oh, okay.
Which is also insane.
It's crazy. Like the mode is nuts. I'm having fun with it. It's really stupid.
But... It's so stupid. It's like a parody of Madden.
Yeah. And I also what was that?
I was gonna say, which is Madden.
Yeah. It's this year's Madden is maybe a parody of every other Madden for this generation. I don't know. The football playing is fine. Like when it works, it seems fine. Like it's there's nothing added to it. The other thing I played was Forza Horizon 4, the Lego expansion. Mm. And that turns so the expansions are on separate islands, like separate locations. So you go to this, you boot up the Lego portion, you go to that, and the entire world is just Legos. Everything.
It sounds pretty sweet, but I never played that one. But I always thought like I bought the better one in terms of like I bought the Hot Wheels one on part 3.
Yeah, and the Hot Wheels one is great. I think this one might be better.
Get out of here, really?
Like it just the way progression works, like it's this big game board that's like so your everything you do gives you bricks to build stuff in the world. So like you're building your house, you're building new cars, like Lego versions of the cars. Like so I'm working towards right now a Lego Ferrari. And they operate just like, you know, regular Forza cars, except like when you do damage to them, bricks fly off.
Nice.
They have ramps and stuff, like different, like there's speed ramps and speed boosts along the, like, so everything is kind of like Arcadia, like done up arcade wise. It's really cool. It's a ton of fun. And like, I was like, I still lean towards 3 as being the better game just because I think the environment for 3 is better. But these two expansions in 4 are great. Fortune Island, which is the one I just finished. This Lego one, they're excellent. I hope that whatever they do for 5, like they continue to do like a super goofy expansion for it, because they're a ton of fun, and they're still Forza, it's still racing, but it's just goofy fun.
What is the Fortune City?
Fortune Island is it's this small island where you are. Like as you're progressing through the island, you then get clues. Like they read you a clue, and then you can go find a treasure chest that has $1 million in it.
Mm.
And, but it's a hunt for it. So like the clue is cryptic, so you have to solve the riddle. So it could be like something like, you know, you need a special red muscle car. It'll like tell you like what type of car, but it doesn't come out and say you need a Ford Mustang, 63 Mustang. It'll be something more cryptic than that. And it'll give you a clue as to what you have to go do with that car And then once you do it with that car, it'll unlock the next clue, which is like, it's kind of like a barn find. But instead of
the
car, it's you're finding this treasure chest, which has $1 million.
Holy shit. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's like a scavenger hunt across this whole island. And it's huge. Like the other ones for three were like, you know, 4 or so hours long. Fortune Island took me about 8 hours to get through. And from what I'm reading, like the Lego one is about 8 hours too. So, you know, full size games with those expansions.
I'm gonna have to look for when they do like the deep discount on them or whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, drop them at some point on games with gold.
Yeah. And
then drop the expansions on discount like super deep, because that's how I ended up getting the expansions for Forza Motorsport 6.
Yeah.
I got all the expansions for that for $1.
I might have bought the Hot Wheel ones at full price, but then like the Ice Mountain one or whatever the fuck in part three, I think I waited. It was like $5 at some point.
Yeah,
dude, I gotta get it.
Yeah. I was also gonna say if you, because I think three is being delisted this month, right?
It is. I saw that. It's weird.
So I assume they'll have a sale on that as well if you wanted to check out an older one. With all of the DLC and stuff.
That's so weird that they noticed it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just... My guess is it probably has to do with their licensing with the cars.
Or the music or something.
There's just licensed content in it. Like, Horizon 4 has over 700 cars in it. And then you have, like, what, 6 or 7 different radio stations? So... Yeah, there's a ton of licensed content in there. Tony, what else did you play this week?
So the only other game that I play that we haven't talked about is Crusader Kings 3. And I won't, you know, excite Jeff with more tales about how great the mechanics are, although they are awesome.
Oh, it's time for me to go grab a beer? Okay.
I will say some of the things that I've done in this game. So I've murdered my spouse. I have murdered my own child because they were insane and about to become my heir. I have attacked my brother and stolen his kingdom.
Sounds fair.
I have made decisions that would stress my character out so he would die faster.
That seems crazy.
I've done lots of plots to kill people. I mean, that's kind of what the game is about, right? Let's see. I have tried to seduce my own wife only to sneak into her bedroom while her lover is there.
Oh.
Oops.
I guess the worst thing that happened to me. So I don't know how familiar you guys are with the concept of inheritance in medieval kingdoms. Like most of them, you think about like primogeniture. So I'm the king of France. I die. My son inherits everything. Well, if you go like before that, like I guess the best example is Charlemagne. When Charlemagne died, his empire was split between his three children. So when you start off in the game, you're in like the era of Charlemagne. So a lot of the places you would play as have that as a concept where if you die, your empire will get split up amongst your children equally. It's incredibly frustrating because you're playing this. It's an empire builder. You're trying to build as large kingdom as possible. So right. Every time your character dies, whatever you've built up gets split into a bunch of pieces. So I, for instance, I was playing in England. I had almost England entirely conquered. And then I died. And now instead of being one really large kingdom, it was three kingdoms. And that's how I ended up at war with my brother.
Of course. It's like when the Fire Nation attacks.
It's exactly like that. there was one point at which things get split up by rank. So... you can have a duchy Or if you have enough territory, you can have a kingdom. Or if you have even more territory, you can have an empire. Now, if you have empire and you die, the empire gets inherited by your heir. Like maybe your other, maybe you have land within the empire, gets split up between your children. But the empire would all go to one person. So you'd have control over the entire empire. So the Empire of Britannia is made up of 73 territories. It's actually more than that, but you have to hold 73 to actually create this empire. So I had 70, and my character was like 58 years old. Like, he's fine. I'm going to take these last three territories. I'm going to declare an empire. So when my character dies, his son, who I will then be, will still have this empire. So I'm about to click declare war on the territory next to me, and my character instantly dies. And my huge empire was split into three parts, and I had to do it all over again. yeah. The whole death thing is hilarious. My son was walking by while I was playing, and I was explaining the game to him how, you know, you play as this character. When he dies, you play as his son. And my son is standing there while I'm playing. He's like, so when will your character die? And at that very moment, my character died.
Your son tinked?
He killed him. So, it's a fun game. Lots of weird stuff happens. It's pretty cool. There's obviously a learning curve, but you get through it. You can have a lot of fun with this game.
Nice. How are the achievements going?
I have 10, something like that.
Okay.
They're all like weird stuff. Know lots of secrets or playing as this character did this one weird thing. So it's hard to get like a bunch of achievements in one playthrough. Like you have to like specifically direct your playthrough and getting the achievement.
Like,
whatever happens.
It seems like strategy games are that do have achievements are set up that way. It's like play a lot of this game.
Yeah.
So I remember getting Age of Empires 2, and it's like, get like 10,000 wood.
Right, exactly.
Take forever.
It's like a complete... The ones for Age of Empires 2 were really brutal, too. Like, there wasn't a single one I thought it was going to take me less than 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. All right, well, so that's everything we've been playing. Now on to the news.
Was there news this week?
Nope, I guess not. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
No, there was news. They dropped. A leak hit, and the price and form factor and name, which we kind of already all assumed what the name was of the Xbox Lockhart, which is the Xbox Series S. Hit out there, $299 US, coming November 10th. And that is a tiny console.
It is so small.
It's half the size of a PS4.
The PS4 is also a big console.
It is. But I mean, like, comparatively to, like, what, you know, the Xbox.
Yeah.
And PS4 are, like, it is tiny. It is not tiny compared to the Switch or like the Wii U, but it's a nice small form factor. Weird giant black fan on it on the white console.
Yeah. Body, but, it's kind of like we can't make it too plain. We need something.
Yeah, I've seen some people do mock-ups with like the Xbox symbol in there that looks nice. Like that might have been a better choice instead of.
I've also seen people who say. Do see Oreo, because it looks like an Oreo and milk.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
It does kind of look like an Oreo.
And then I guess they officially announced the Series X as well, right? That price is $499 also on the 10th. So I guess both of them are out there. So they blinked first or had to blink first.
I think they had to. I think it got leaked, right?
Yeah.
Well, part of me is like, I don't want to be paranoid. And it's not paranoia. it feels, part of it does feel like an eek, but part of it was also like, oh, yeah, it eek, we had this video good to go, and we also had hands-on impressions this week.
Right.
So it's like,
Seem a little, the timing was a little convenient. But then again, you know they were like on the verge of announcing this thing anyway, so, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, and I assume they probably were putting it together for people. Like, people probably had hands-on with it anyhow, which is probably how it eeked. But yes, I mean, and I think one of the things people have said is, like, this is kind of what I would consider a masterclass in dealing with leaks for video games. Because we're so accustomed to people pretending it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Or just going about, like, they were just like, no, they played around with it. People had fun with it. They announced it. Then they did an official rollout. And then, so they got good press for it. People finally got a price that seems reasonable. And they also detailed more stuff that people needed to know. Because, like, I think they started this with the 360 aid on, and I don't remember if the Xbox One does it as much. But, like, you could essentially put your Xbox on a plan where it's, like, you pay it off over time. Which, yeah, I think that's a great idea, especially now that they bundled that. You can bundle it with Xbox Ultimate Game Pass, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right? Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah.
What, the Series S is $24.99 a month for 24 months. Don't have to, nothing up front, just I guess you probably have to pass a credit check. Probably has to go through that, but yeah, you could basically, you're paying your monthly subscription and $10 more a month to get the system, so.
Yeah, it's a good deal, and I mean, really, it negates the, you know, the big talking point that we all had, which is like, it makes Game Pass your big talking point for the holiday.
Yeah.
And it's a great deal. I think we've all agreed on that with Game Pass. It's a really good deal. And probably, you know, to sound like a marketing show, the best deal in gaming.
Yeah, especially now that EA Play is being bundled in with it as well.
Yep, that's insane now. It's just insane.
It's so, like, not only are you getting, you know, Game Pass, which is a great deal, you're getting EA's their vault, which is everything from this gen that was released, you know, through last year, maybe except for the Fallen Order. That might be the only one that's not on there. Everything else, I think, is, like, all their sports games from last year, all the way to the start of the gen, and then about, what, 60-70% of their backwards compatibility 360 output as well. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
EA Play has, it's you know, the former EA Access, also comes along with 10% discount on EA games. So if you buy an EA game like Madden or NHL or Need for Speed or whatever, you get a 10% discount on that and all of their DLC as well. So
yeah, Game Pass is one of the best deals in gaming today. You get to bag it, and you know, for people like Tony who for some reason enjoy sports games,
sure,
you also get that
reason
as well. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know why people play sports games.
What?
Because they're better than the games that Earl plays.
That
I don't
is
know
not
what
either.
Games are, but they're better.
I'm not even like the biggest sports fan ever, but to me, you know, they're like arcade games in a way. You know, it's
I like arcade sports titles. Those are fun. Those are good games. I'm just taking the piss out of Tony. It's not. But yes, I think as far as like finally having a week where one of these two presented something, it's the first time I feel like I don't come off more dejected, being like, I don't know what you're trying to sell me here.
No, I totally get what they're trying to, like, it still comes back to, like, what is the piece of software you want with this?
Yeah, like, and I don't, I mean, it's not But you know, we did like they're making moves. Gears Tactic is a launch title. What was it? Assassin's Creed was moved up to launch alongside it.
Yep.
What was the other one?
Well, Tony, I think you said Watch Dogs as well.
No, Watch Dogs is before.
Okay.
Because Watch Dogs is October 29th, I think.
Well, so Valhalla's changed their release date to the same day now as the Xbox launch.
It's now the 10th, yeah.
Yeah.
Tetris Effect Connected is the 10th.
Woo!
So, I mean, there are games. There's just not maybe one.
It's not that one knockout, but it's still a really solid. Like, it's like, if somebody gets it, it's not like you're going to have to kick it out of bed. It's essentially the same stuff you would have gotten if you had your Xbox One still, which, you know, might just be a reason to keep not buy it this year. But yeah, it's a solid enough lineup. I could be mistaken. Is Gears Tactic exclusive to the Series One?
Yeah, it's already out on PC.
Well, I meant like as far as a console release, not like console.
Yeah, I don't know. They had said that, you know, their first party stuff would come to Xbox One as well. So I feel that you probably could play it there, but I don't know.
So I have to say, I feel for any developer who is going to make an Xbox One, an Xbox One X, an Xbox Series S, an Xbox Series X title. Because those are all four different devices.
Yeah.
They are. But I think this, like, because of the way the architecture is, it's very
you're
similar.
You're just making the same thing on all of them. Yeah.
You also have to optimize it. Like, I assume it's not just like pressing a button and like, you're good to go.
There is, but I mean, and this is going to be harder for smaller devs, I would think, but somebody like Assassin's Creed, like, you know, the huge game.
Oh, yeah.
That's also coming out on PC. They have to optimize for tons of different graphics cards and setups. So that's already happening. This is just, you know, yes, it's four different systems that you have to play around with. And it's not, you know, I don't want to say this is easy, right? Because I'm sure optimization is not easy, but these big teams have the resources to do that. It's just going to be the smaller games, the mid-tier games that are going to struggle with that, I would think. Which might be why that guy from Remedy said what he said. Where he was like, that's going to be trouble for optimization.
Yeah, and it's going to be. I mean,
because they're not a huge studio. And they couldn't optimize.
I wonder what
the Microsoft
is going to offer.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask it. I don't want to sound stupid.
No, go ahead and ask it.
I still think it's confusing that, like, the Series S might not be as good as a 1X, or am I, like,
so on that? You
well, it's
are...
better than a 1X, I think.
Yeah, so,
or
it is. You're not wrong, Earl. If you are looking at pure teraflops, which is the number that Microsoft liked to throw around a lot when they were saying how powerful the 1X was, and even the Series X, it has less teraflops than the 1X. However, it has the same CPU as the Series X, which is...
This is going to be a confusing generation.
It's going to be like... The GPU
which
is better.
Which one's better?
I can't say.
And but, it's like, I saw someone say that it doesn't do 4K even. Like
it doesn't. So the Series S does not
do...
Come on,
dude.
It does 2K?
It does 1080p or 1440p.
Yeah.
So it is designed for HD televisions, but not 4K televisions. Like it is very specifically a system designed for next gen for people that do not have a 4K TV.
Yeah, so it's also
it's just dude. All right, so now I did not know like what everything you just said. I did not know. I just knew that it was like up in the air. Like what the fuck the Series S is compared to like what we have now, and I'm just like, why didn't you just make the 1X cheaper now? And then that's it. Like, what the fuck are you, like, I don't know, dude.
Because this actually has better hardware in it than the One X, but on a pure
some aspects, but
on all aspects, it just does not have the teraflop horsepower. It has the better graphics card, has the newer graphics card, but it does not have as much RAM. It does not have as much pure power on the GPU side, but they're going to make up for that, they say, with the CPU speed. I honestly don't know, Jeff.
But like, I guess the other thing that we
does it have a disc? Does it have a disc drive?
Has no disc drive.
I was going to say that's the other thing we should mention is that it's a digital only console. Yeah.
But like, all right, so like, if you buy or you rent a fucking 4K movie digitally on there, it's not going to display in fucking 4K. Will it even display at all? Like, you fucking watch the movie?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think the PS4.
I don't think Microsoft offers things like that right now. Like on a you don't rent a 4K movie. You rent a movie and it displays on whatever.
You can rent UHD from Xbox as well.
No, it's not, they're all the same now. They changed it, so it's everything is one. Like, it just gives you whichever version works on your system.
So it just reads you now.
Microsoft.
Yeah, I guess the Microsoft Store.
But you know, you go on. I rent movies from Amazon Prime all the time, and so like, they often have 4K UHD version.
So yeah, the tricky thing with that
is going on here. You know?
The tricky thing with that is, yes, you can pay the extra dollar or two to Amazon. They will downgrade your stream to whatever the output will be. So
yeah,
if you can't actually display 4K, it will play you the HD version.
So you could watch it technically, I guess, but like, it wouldn't display, right? Like, it wouldn't be able to display that, right? Am I like right on this or not? Like,
no, you were correct. Like, I have movies anywhere, so most of my movies are just all tied to an account. But like, certain stuff won't play 4K. No, like, even if my TV is a 4K TV, like, certain apps won't support 4K natively on like with a Roku app. So, like, right. I think YouTube does, but like, I don't think, for instance, like Google Play does, which is why a lot of my movies are on. So it's like knowing which app supports it natively, and because like, yeah, the Xbox supports 4K right now. Like, you can stream Netflix in 4K. But dude,
sorry, this thing is a sucker system.
All right, here you go. This is directly this is from Windows Central. So not directly from Microsoft, but they were the ones that kind of leaked all this information anyway. The Series S can handle 4K movies that through streaming through Netflix and Microsoft Movies and TV. It's able to upscale games to 4K, but it does not output in general to 4K. So like it upscales to your television. But it's not directly outputting 4K visuals from the box.
Okay. I don't like it. I really think, like, dude, if you find it important enough to get the new Xbox, right? Like,
I think you'd go with the Series X.
I know, but like, who's the person out there that's like, I need the new Xbox, but I don't care about 4K.
Myself. My son, who plays on a 1080p television.
I mean, you have to also be honest with yourself. How many people do you know care about 4K now?
I don't know, but they're not the same. Like, the people that want cutting edge tech, like,
and that's what the
you know what I mean, like,
right? The Series S is literally for the more casual person that wants to play.
If you want cutting edge tech, you're gonna get the X.
Dude, if you don't give a shit, you're gonna be like my friend who's playing the One S.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, like, so what? So your argument seems to be counter, because if you don't care about 4K,
why are you buying
the 4K? Then why not get the? Because I mean, ultimately, you get new system because that's where new games are.
Right.
That is
well,
that.
No comment on that one.
Right. There's like, I mean, the argument of whether there are games to get a system for this right now is you know, that is
a different argument. But that's why, like, it's, I mean, like, it's the reason, like, let's be honest, like, as much as we want to say, you know, as much as people want to say it's all about the graphics, like, what are, like, some of the best selling games of all time? Or like Minecraft, Tetris, Mario Brothers. Those aren't the best looking games.
Yeah. I don't know.
Here's the answer for you.
Okay.
The answer is more complicated than a simple yes or no. The Xbox Series S doesn't have the hardware to push for true 4K gaming and instead targets 1440p at up to 120 frames per second. However, if you have a 4K television, you can still enjoy 4K media streaming, and the Series S will upscale games to 4K televisions to fit your TV. So media streaming, 4K is fine with the S. Game screen streaming will upscale to your television, but it's not true 4K gaming. It's like that half step.
That's weird. Whatever. I mean, fucking, I think you're a sucker if you buy it. Just buy the fucking, if you buy a new system, buy the new system. Like,
but it's also $300. What is it? $300 cheaper? $200 cheaper?
It is $200 cheaper. For me, like, I'm gonna get the X for myself. My son wants an X, but I don't have a 4K television where he plays.
There
you go. He's a new Christmas gift.
Well, and like, honestly, what the fuck? Like, he's gonna play Call of Duty.
Yeah, no, I mean, he won't even question it.
And he streams Netflix and Hulu. Like, does, like, all right? You have the cool white box. Like, yeah. You have the new thing. And you can play the new game.
It's like kind of getting Switch Lite here. Like, we, you know, my girlfriend has a Switch Lite. That's like our secondary, or, you know,
yeah,
her personal fucking Switch. Like, but it's just, I don't know. When I do get the Xbox, which is not going to be anytime soon, it's not going to be that fucking thing. But, you know, I guess I'm not the person. It's not. Yeah, I'm not.
I guess the thing that does, like, knock the Series S for me, it's not a huge thing, but it has its hard drive is half the size of the
Series S. I was going to bring that up as well. For an all digital system, it doesn't make any sense. It's essentially Call of Duty. It's a Call of Duty Warzone and Halo Master Chief Collection, and that's your hard drive.
Yeah.
Wait, how big is the X hard drive?
The X is one terabyte. Yeah. And this
fuck,
is half, so it's 512 gigabytes.
Even one terabyte's not that much.
It's tiny. Not at all. Like,
it has an expandable hard drive. Like, you can add more storage to it for the SSD. But it will also play your Xbox One and 360 games from a regular USB external drive, kind of like, I guess, the
That's weird.
Xbox One handles now.
So you have to buy one?
So, like, could I?
I mean, if you have one, you can just utilize it already.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, okay. That's basically my question. Is just like, I just plug that into the new system.
I have an external drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a 2 or 3 terabyte external drive that I have connected to my 1X.
Dude, it's so worth it, Earl. Like,
yeah, you gotta do it.
You know, just look for when they do the sales, like the.
Oh, you mean a hard drive? For some reason, I thought you meant like a CD drive.
No, hard drive.
That's why I was like, wait, is that
we all got a CD drive.
How do you not have this? You don't have a cigarette lighter attached to your Xbox One? What's wrong with you?
Who has a disc, man? It's like, now I'm like, that I can see if you were thinking that, like, I had a fucking disc man attached to my Xbox One. That's a crazy person.
Me and Tony both hop on. I'm like, yeah, dude, I got one.
Everyone has a disc man.
What are you talking about, Earl? That's hilarious.
Yes, I mean, good. I'm glad that news is out there.
Finally. Finally.
Waiting for now.
We have a price. I have a date. I know when. Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like we're so long.
And pre-order is open on the 22nd?
22nd, yeah. What were you asking, Jeff?
I said I feel like we were on that for a minute, and it was partially my fault, so I apologize.
No, I mean, no, this new hardware. Like, it should be something you talk about. Like, that's the point of like new hardware.
I'm finally excited. Like now, like you know, you get that feeling of like, yeah, the new shit's coming. Like for all summer, it's been there's no information. Like, yeah, it's coming, but it's not exciting. Like. Now, I mean, they didn't even show any games. It's just like, hey, here's the fucking price and the date it's coming out and when you can buy it. And I'm like, yay!
I'm kind of on the other end. Like, I'm happy that it's out there, but I'm also like, oh yeah, I'm not missing anything if I don't get it this year.
Right, you're not.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I mean, Jeff, you didn't hop on the Xbox One until, like, what, 6 months later?
I can't remember, honestly.
I think you bought it around Titanfall.
Maybe, yeah. It sounds probably right.
And I don't... you didn't miss out on anything. Like, dude, and actually, like, the one had a better launch lineup than the Series X does. So
I think there's two things here. It's like, one, I feel like the One X is like already like a superior piece of fucking hardware. Like, it's great. Like, I have zero issues almost with it.
Except that's for the half an hour we just spent on your issues with.
And the other thing is, like, if I could play the games on that system still, then I like it's not urgent for me. It's not like
right.
You know, it's just like okay, well, yeah, it'll be cool when I do upgrade. Like, shit will look better or load faster or whatever the fuck. But like. Again, I already feel like everything plays so great on my Xbox right now. Like,
well,
so,
yeah, if I can still play those games, that's going to be until the game start like being
I'm sure Tetris Effect is going to play fucking fantastic.
on whatever you play it on, right?
Yeah, so yeah, like, that's Tetris Effect. Like, I imagine Halo Infinite, for example, it's going to run much better.
That might be it. That might be the one where I'm like, you know what? I want to play the best possible version of this game. Because that's like a flagship fucking title for them. You know what I mean? Like, but it's not coming out right now. So it's just like, whatever, dude. I don't need to spend this $500 right now. So, all right. Whenever it feels right, it'll happen. But like, it's one of the weirdest console like transitions ever because it's just like,
you can
still play the games. Like, so why? Like,
I think Ash Gen was like this too, where it's like it feels like the consoles exist because it's time. Yes, so then it's like, oh, we have a new idea, and Microsoft especially since they seem to want to go with the concept of generations because it still sounds like a lot of games are still coming to the Xbox One and the S.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah, so that's out there. PlayStation now has to make their move. Let us know.
So please, Sony, we're here.
Right.
So I'm curious what they can. Like, I mean, I guess they can come in under price at like $399, but it
I
already
don't think
seems
they
like.
Can.
Like, yeah, that's
I don't
what
think
I'm
they
thinking.
Can.
I don't think they have to. Why do they have to? Like, oh,
I think they have to. But
they're like the right now. Like, and they got the game coming out. They got Spider-Man coming out. Like, everyone has a PS4. Most people, unlike us, like prefer it. You know, it's like. Why do they could just come in right at 500 and it's fine. Like,
I know, but I mean, like, you don't get the same excitement if you come in at the same price. It's like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, like, I know. They were able like to, thing going back years, but like...
You know, they had the hype, you know, last gen, they had the hype after Xbox One stumbled out of the gate.
Yeah.
And then you know, they dropped that $500 on it, and then Sony's like, hey, ours is 400, and like... You know, they already had the better box. They had the hype around it, and they were able to undercut the price. They were able to kind of dominate the conversation.
I mean, they did that too at their original, like when they revealed the original PlayStation. They like undercut Sega by $100, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a thing, but like I just because it's happened before, like I don't. My guess is like it's gonna be like 500, and you know, probably a week or four after, you know. Maybe the same night as the Xbox. Who knows?
That would be
interesting. Picking up two boxes on the same night. That's happened before, right?
I have a feeling it is I think it'll be coming out either the 13th, which is like 3 days later, the 17th or the 20th. I think it comes out after the Xbox, but yeah. within the next week and a half.
The thing I'm curious about now, and I mentioned this last week, I think, is like part of like the dates that people run with has always been around the holidays and Black Friday and
yep.
the start of the
It'll be out before Black Friday.
Yeah. But the thing is like we don't know what that looks like this year.
We don't, but we do know that like, you know, regardless of whether the malls are open, right, or people can go to Walmart, which there are plenty of idiot people that are going to run out to Walmart and buy this shit on Black Friday. Just look at fucking Florida. Like, you're going to do it. I think, like, you know, Amazon, you know, all those online retailers are still going to have their Black Friday sales, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess that's why I'm saying it's weird that it's like you have to stick to this traditional time frame, I guess.
Yeah.
Earl, you sent a chill up my spine with that fucking, what does Black Friday look like this year? It's like, that's when the horror movie starts right there. We come in, it's Black Friday in the middle of a pandemic. Yes. There's fucking fires going on in the background, like in the fucking cities and the fucking hills. That's going to be it, man.
And then you also have to account for the fact that...
And we won't know who the president is yet, and there'll be violence in the streets. And...
Well, I was going to say that we would know.
And go back and listen to this episode 6 months or 2 months. Fuck.
I can't take another 6 months of this action.
It's going to feel like another 6 months, but... Oh, man. All right. Anyways, sorry.
It's going to be interesting. But there are some other news this week. Earl, you want to tell us about your big win, your big holiday game?
My big holiday game's out in a week. That hasn't changed.
Your other big holiday game?
My other big holiday game, yes. So, Nintendo announced this week that... we are getting a Breath of the Wild prequel in the form of Hyrule Warriors, The Age of Calamity, which would tell the story of, well, the story that is told in Breath of the Wild through flashbacks and memories of the Great War that happened 100 years before the start of the game. And it is through Hyrule Warriors, which is just a really fun game. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but like I said with Earth Defense Force, there's something to be said about a game that just makes you feel like a almighty badass who rolls through thousands and thousands of enemies without a care in the world. And I think, it's a level of trust. I don't think Nintendo's had in a third party in some time that not only allowing them, because like Hyrule Warriors, the original, is a Zelda game that is not, I hate to say in continuity because none of them are in that same way, but the fact is it's like it's an all new story that just kind of takes characters from the franchise and puts them in a game that has a narrative, but it's like divorced from anything related to the series, where this one is a straight up sequel to, or a prequel to the best selling game in the franchise. And it looks so much better. It looks like you could tell that they actually got a budget this time to make a game, because I think I thought so too. People thought it was built on the Breath of the Wild engine. It looks like it's a very close proximity, but it's not exactly the same. But the fact that you also get to explore that world again before Breath of the Wild 2 comes out in God knows when is a big win for fans as well. I think Nintendo has finally done what they've done with Mario, and they've created a third player of the Zelda franchise with this, the 2D Zeldas, and now Hyrule Warriors. Or I guess technically a fourth player if you want to count Breath of the Wild separately from the traditional 3D Zelda games.
Yeah.
Jeff, did you like Hyrule Warriors? Did you play the first one?
I was going to ask you and Tony if you guys had tried it. Like, have you guys tried it? Like, I've tried it. I can't remember how I tried it. If I tried a demo or if I rented it or what.
I had it. I thought it was fun.
I have not played it.
You have not played it? Like, nope. I thought... it was like better than I expected, and like I thought, you know, there's something to this that seems cool, but like it didn't like 100% click for me. Like I didn't like, I know I didn't beat it. I don't own it currently, so I'm kind of on the fence about this new one, just because like again, it wasn't like, oh yeah, this is amazing. I was like, this is neat. It's better than I expected. Kind of like, you're just doing straight action, but it's like there's a map you gotta consider. So it's like, right? Is that kind of how it plays? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, there's this hot spot you gotta protect. Like something's going on over here on the map. You better get over there and fucking
One of the good things with this one, with Hyrule Warriors versus some of the other Musous, like Dynasty Warrior, which is what it's based off of, is it also has elements of Zelda. So you have like the items.
And yeah, it's like the fanfare is like insane on it. Like. So,
and you got to play as a host of different characters, and I know, especially I think with Breath of the Wild, and I would also say Skyward Sword personally, is I think Nintendo really got to a point where they started developing the side characters in Zelda really well. So it's nice to kind of have them get a focus, because you can play as Zelda, you can play as the four champion, you can play as Link, I believe you can play as the King of Hyrule. And I will also, you know, cards on the table. I am currently playing Hyrule Warriors Duty right now. And again, it's just a ton of fun to just wreck stuff.
Yeah.
So you have the you have Hyrule Warriors on the Switch already?
Yes.
You're playing that one?
Yes, I have it on the Switch and the Wii U.
It's really expensive to buy now.
Is it? You can't get it digitally.
I think it was sale on the eShop. I should have got it, man.
I got it for like $30 or something like that.
It just,
I'll keep an eye on it.
I've never been like, oh, it's awesome. Like I always thought it's better than I expected, but I probably would like it if I like really gave it a chance, you know, like really started to play it more.
And I can understand. It's all like, it's not a Zelda replacement. It's not like, yeah, this isn't like getting your Ocarina of Time or your Wind Waker or your
That aesthetic though that you fucking love, like, you know, just the rupees and all that shit. Like it's just fucking
I think again, like I said, I think it does a good job and it gives a different flavor to the franchise, because I think spade to spade, everybody knows how the game's going to end because the good guys don't win. Or of Ganon doesn't come.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to do that and still kind of make you feel empowered. But like people said, it's going to be like the final mission in Hyrule Reach, where you're just kind of fighting for your life at the end of that.
Yeah. And it's just like epic destruction and shit. Like, oh man, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. A new physical copy of Hyrule Warriors is $89 on Amazon. Wait, that's the lowest.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, why?
I can't find it. GameStop doesn't have any physical copies, used or new. It must be something limited. Let's see.
I guess if this was another company than Nintendo, they might put it on sale.
Right. So, yeah. If you announce the new one, like, hey, the new ones or the old ones, $15.
If you want a copy of the old one, you have to get it digitally through Nintendo.
So. Which would still probably have it for $60 or
yeah. So keep an eye out. Maybe they'll put it on sale.
Or I'll just get the new one.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea that it is a prequel to.
It's neat. Yeah.
Breath of the Wild, not my favorite Zelda, but. I like that world. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think of all the worlds, I think Wind Waker has the same thing, but it's an interesting story to tell with this prequel. And again, a way to kind of expand the lore and get a Zelda game out this year to hold people over until Breath of the Wild 2 comes out.
A real Zelda game comes out?
I mean, it's a spinoff. I mean, I'm not going to take offense to that. It is what it is. It's not. It doesn't feel that. It feels a completely different itch than the Zelda franchise does, but it's an itch that I enjoy.
All right. Well, that leaves us with the Ubisoft event that they had today. Their second event, Ubisoft Forward. This started out on a shitty note, I guess, to start with. Instead of addressing their issues, their internal company issues on their live stream or whatever the hell it was, they put out a 4-minute video an hour before
that they said they couldn't fit into the main program because they and then they had a hour long pre-show. And then a 45 minute, like, there were parts they could have cut that were not needed, and people wouldn't have cried.
So that started out Ubisoft, you know, still acting like the shitty company that they sometimes are. But then they talked about some games. I brought up this Verge article that says all the biggest announcements from Ubisoft's Forward event. First one here is Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Yeah.
Speaking of Zelda games,
it's very much like Breath of the Wild. This was previously known as Gods and Monsters.
I haven't pre-ordered at Best Buy as Gods and Monsters. I'm just waiting.
Why did they change to Immortal?
It's a much less generic name. Not saying it isn't generic, but it's much less generic
than Immortals, whatever the fuck. It sounds like, you think that's less generic? I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
Gods and Monsters?
Gods and Monsters, though, is like, I don't know, dude. It's fucking simple, and you can remember Gears of War, Gods and Monsters, like, Immortal Fenyx fucking challenges or whatever the fuck we're talking about here. Like a lost PS2 game that you fucking
it does.
Monsters.
Also, people were referring to it as Fenyx Rising, and I guess because Fenyx in this case is spelled with a Y, not an I, but people were typing it in with an I. That brings you to Gears of War, because Fenyx Rising is evidently like some off either a comic storyline or a book storyline for Gears of War. they were trying to find this Breath of the Wild knockoff, and instead we're getting some Gears of War stuff. But Jeff, this looks like it's up your alley.
Yeah, like I think I'm going to buy it kind of blind, and you know, I don't expect it to be Breath of the Wild, like, or as good as Breath of the Wild, but like, it looks like you're trying really hard to be that, and I can enjoy a game that does that, you know? Like,
that out this year, December 3rd.
Yep. So, like, that got added to, like, oh, shit, I gotta, like, I was, like, literally thinking about that tonight, like, man, I really gotta, like, try to get through that before we record our end of the year shit, because it looks like it'll be on my list, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I hope it's good. Like, it looks fun. The weapons don't degrade, so it's already a step ahead of...
Maybe you'll like it way more.
I really like the look of it, though. It looks really cool.
Do we know if it has, like... Does it copy, like, the mini dungeon thing that fucking... Cause, like,
it
that's
does,
kind
actually.
Of, I noticed in the one gameplay trailer they mentioned, like, yeah, you could upgrade your abilities by doing, like... puzzles throughout the game or something. They said something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it has like dying rooms or something like that.
I was like, awesome. Fuck yes, dude. That's, you know, to me, that's like what I love about Breath of the Wild. The fact that, and they did say it too, like, you could go in any direction. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, dude, it just looks like there were shots in the trailer and it was just like totally ripped from fucking the Breath of the Wild trailer. Like, him climbing up the side of a mountain or some shit. Just like, what the fuck? It was so blatant. I'm surprised they didn't just say, like, we're doing fucking, like, our version of Breath of the Wild.
I mean, hey, do what works. So, keeping in theme with shit that Jeff likes, although this one I also like, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, is it's getting a remake. It's out early next year.
Yeah, someone's been reading my journal lately, because it's like...
Well, I think you need to work on your handwriting then, because if this is what you wish for...
The quality of this, you're saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, dude. When I finally saw the trailer, I was like, whatever. It does look better than the actual like original game, in my opinion. But
no, from a technical standpoint, it's better. But I think every way else, it does not.
Yeah, it looks generic, like visually. I mean, like instead of, like, I think Sands of Time had like a very distinct art style to it.
It did. And then,
yeah, I can see what you're saying a little bit. So, yeah,
somebody even compared it to the PS3 360 Sands of Time, and that has a nice visual style to it as well. And that expanded in this does.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're calling it a remake. Fucking then do that. Like,
yeah, give it a cool art style.
Does look like they kind of like redid the visuals, but they redid them to look like how they were, but
not too much. That just
makes it look bad. Like, kind of. I don't know.
If it plays well, I won't care.
Yeah, I'm still totally getting it. Like, that's a really.
It's a great game.
You know, I have the original game downloaded on my Xbox right now, and it, like, the one bad thing is it is, like, 4:3 or whatever, like, the aspect ratio.
Oh, is it? Yeah,
yeah,
like,
it is.
That is weird.
That's a weird choice to go with. Like, you could, they should have remade that, like, made it widescreen.
Yeah, because they are remaking it. Like, they went through the video, they're doing new mo-capturing and everything, like, why
it's
keep that
a whole new engine, right? Like, they've rebuilt it from the ground up.
Well, wow. that's the one, that's the original one is 4:3, so.
Right, but I mean, if you're rebuilding
why
it,
that?
If you have to redo the whole thing, like, you know, expand the camera, like, expand the visual representation. Whatever. That's out January 21st, so. As long as that's not $60, I'm probably down for that. Probably $60.
I'm probably down for it either way. I mean, I hear you guys. It could have been better, but
I mean, to me,
look,
like,
dude, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Give me what I asked for. Yeah. Fuck, I'm gonna buy it. So
yeah, and I get that. It's just like when I look at like Tony Hawk, which just came out, like,
and for $40.
Yeah, for $40, and just a masterful remaster or remake or whatever the hell you want to call it, and then this comes out, and like if they're trying to push this at $60, and it's like, I don't know, we'll see.
One thing we didn't talk about Tony Hawk, not to bring it all the way back, but what do you think of the soundtrack?
It's good. It's really good.
It's really good.
I don't know what this is. Maybe somebody can fill me in on it. Riders Republic.
I watch it. I don't know what it is. It seems like an extreme sports matchup game. So you can like snowboard. I think you could like I forget what you call it when you like fly in a squirrel suit.
Wing suiting.
I don't know, but yeah, I kind of checked out because it had one of those shirts where it's just sued, and I'm like, yeah, like I'm out.
It's evidently by the creators of Steep.
That was obvious.
That is out February 25th. Does not seem any interest from us here, though. So
it was an odd. I mean, I'm happy that Ubisoft is trying new stuff. It seemed like an odd and one more thing for a press conference.
Sure. I will say I am down with extreme sports making a comeback, though. Give me skateboarding games and snowboarding games and bike riding game. Where's Dave Mirra's BMX at? What was that? What was that one that was that was Dave Mirra, right? BMX XXX.
Yeah.
And then there was the Matt Hoffman BMX game, which was. Give me those. I want something like that. Let's see. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game. Is coming back.
Yay.
Yes.
So.
My favorite way that somebody phrased this is that they're happy that Ubisoft is fixing a problem that Ubisoft created.
By taking it down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did? Has there ever been reason why they did that?
No idea.
Alright, well, that game's back. I know there's a lot of people that love it. I did not. Jeff, you play that one?
Jeff's dead. Again.
Sorry. Tony, Earl, you guys play that one?
Nope.
All right.
I think I played it back in on the PS3. I think it might have been a PlayStation Plus title.
What game?
Not Pokemon vs. the World.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you play that one, Jeff?
No.
No. All right. Rainbow Six Siege, which is already a game that is out there, is coming to next-gen consoles this year. So there's that, I guess. New season of content based around Splinter Cell's Sam Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, that is a dick tease for fans.
Let's mock our own people.
I don't know why I'm laughing, because I'm the victim here.
It's funny that, like, they just put Sam Fisher into everything but a Splinter Cell game. Watch Dogs Legion, I guess they showed a little bit more of that. British rapper Stormy's was featured, as well as, I guess, there are missions with the first Watch Dogs dude, Aiden Pierce.
Who was wearing the iconic Watchdog hat. So I was happy to see that come back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was
even. Did he have a trench coat on?
He did.
I mean, that's what I remember for him. Trench coat and baseball cap.
From what I gathered from everybody online, it seems like the character the main character of part two is much more interesting.
Oh, yes. God, it's not even close.
So, like, yeah.
Aiden Pierce was a generic white dude, hacker guy. He was very boring. The game was fine, though.
The game was fine. Yeah, it wasn't horrible. There were some cool things in there.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely gave an awesome representation of Chicago that Jeff loved with those mountains in the background.
Utterly accurate, I heard. Super,
with the mountains.
pretty weak.
The last thing that The Verge has here is Hyperscape is getting a limited time turbo mode. I don't even know what the fuck Hyperscape is. So.
Oh, sorry, I fell asleep there. yeah, it's weird because this was like 40 minutes and I still came out like that was way too long.
I didn't watch it. I just caught the Sands of Time and the fucking Phoenix Uprising or whatever. Whatever the hell the other.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Good enough. Oh, Immortals, Jeff. Call it Immortals.
Immortals, there we go.
Not to be compared to that movie.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're the two big ones, right? Immortals and Sands of Time seem to be the two.
Well, I would assume Round with Riders or Riders Rebellion or
Republic. Riders Republic.
I went through my YouTube subs and just saw like all the trailers that were posted. So I think I have like an idea of everything that was shown.
That was everything that was shown.
Yeah, I only watched the Sands of Time and whatchamacallit?
Immortals.
Immortals trailers. I didn't watch
Zelda. Ubisoft Zelda. Just call it Ubisoft
Zelda. I saw the thumbnail for Riders or whatever the fuck that is, you know.
I don't know.
You know what I saw? I saw no Splinter Cell and I saw no Beyond Good and Evil.
You just not hear it had Sam Fisher's in the new season of
Right.
I know.
You need to get Rainbow Six Siege,
he's
Jeff.
Literally like they love him so much, he's in every Ubisoft game, but for some reason, just, you know, it's been like almost a decade, nothing on the solo
he's
front.
He's busy crossing over.
Yeah, I guess. Real, like, busy for a while now.
I mean, he showed up in Ghost Recon, and now he's over in Rainbow Six Siege. He made an appearance in that mobile game.
References to him in, like, Far Cry. Like, there's references to him in, like, almost every Ubisoft game, it feels like, at this point.
Probably going to show up in Assassin's Creed.
It would be like if Nintendo fucking just, like, pimped Mario out and then never made new Mario games.
I was going to say, Nintendo pimps Mario out.
I know, but like they still give you the Mario game every. Like,
I would say it's probably closer to like that phase where like Samus is in like, you know, she's in Smash Brothers. They had Federation Force, but we haven't had an actual Metroid game in a decade.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck. So there we go. Ubisoft Forward. New games. Some look good. Some not so much.
Well, I was because Jeff mentioned that he didn't see Splinter Cell or you didn't see Beyond Good and Evil, but I was surprised we haven't heard anything about Crossbone.
Oh no, Skull we did. And there was actually a story on that this week, wasn't there?
It was delayed again. Yeah.
It's delayed one more time.
It has been overhauled again. Evidently, it's going to be more Destiny like now, I guess. I don't know what that means.
Okay, I am just going to say this. I like the concept of Destiny. I actually enjoy Destiny. People need to stop trying to make their games Destiny. Make a good game first, and then turn it into like a post-conversion thing. But this whole like we're going to make this game that's going to last you years on years has not worked for Marvel. It has not worked for EA. It has not worked for. It didn't even work for Destiny.
Yeah, it took Destiny years to get where it needs to be, and. At this point, it's lost me. Like I'm with you, Earl. I think Destiny's a good game, but it just took so long, and I am now completely out of it.
And I say this as, you know, I like Marvel, but I have DC, and I'm afraid for the same thing to happen to Suicide Squad, where it's like, you have an interesting game somewhere, you just didn't give it to me.
Just give us the good games, guys.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a solid multiplayer experience with your friends, and then sell me expansion packs. I'll take it after the fact. But this whole, like, we're just going to make the most generic ass missions as possible so that you have to pay them over and over again to get a small amount of, like, the sad thing is, as somebody who's been playing Diablo and Torchlight all summer long, is that like, those games actually knew how to make it a really long campaign, and then it's like, we're going to, like, have you grind for stuff after you spent a dozen hours playing the main campaign. And we made it somewhat interesting for you with new environments and stuff. Not this like, oh, here's generic space number 5.
Yep. I don't know if we're going to have anything new next week.
Mario will be out the day after we record.
Yeah,
the day after the 18th is a pretty big day for games. It's Mario 3D All Stars, a Crisis Remastered comes out, and WWE 2K Battlegrounds. I know Ooh. Everyone's waiting for that one.
Yeah,
elevating.
I guess in sadder news, but not unexpected, a GameStop just announced they are closing between 400 and 450 stores.
Wow.
This year, which again, I mean, GameStop was going that way anyhow, but this pandemic could not help them. And like I said, it's going to be interesting come back Friday when, I mean, I know I'm not lining up for no consoles this year.
Nope.
No.
I'm not lining up with anybody anywhere.
It's a whole different beast now. But maybe something will come out of it this weekend. It's technically PAX West. We'll have some gaming news out of that. And then I believe Tokyo Game Show is in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, in 2 weeks we'll have, you know, 3D All-Stars and maybe some other stuff. But maybe next week PAX West, right? PAX West? Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah. But I don't know what they're calling it. I just know it's PAX West. I think they're probably just calling it like PAX. Because I think it's probably like PAX at Home or something like that.
Yeah, because everything, all the panels, it's free, right? Like anybody can watch it, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So that's cool. Yeah.
Has anybody done any of those?
No.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them. It's kind
yeah?
of business. Yeah. No, the stuff's kind of fun.
Nice.
But, I mean, it's like watching a bunch of trailers. Most of the content you'll see is pre-recorded and everything.
Oh, and that's what I'm fine with that. I've mentioned this before, I think, on the show. Like, I go to conventions. I'm one of those people who actually go for the panels. They care when people talk and share their new ideas. But I guess there's something to be said for it being in person versus like watching somebody talk about something on the
yeah.
I did it for the DC one because that was a whole day of stuff with exciting announcements. Where a lot of times, because these are pre-recorded, it's just people kind of talking with no real mission statement, I guess. They're not like, you're not promoting something, you're not really showing anything, you're not like showing like exclusive footage most of the time.
Let's see. They are still having tournaments, so that's interesting. I mean, I guess it's not something that's impossible to do, right? Like, it's
no. Because, I mean, before it all went to crap, we were supposed to have Evo this year online. And yeah. Then that became a thing. But yeah, I think hopefully, I mean, I'm happy that we're finally, I assume we're done with the E3 of the internal E3.
I hope so. I really do.
It has to be over by now.
Yeah,
please be over. Please.
Hopefully we get the announcement for the PlayStation 4 next week and we can just move on.
Yeah. And then yeah.
Yeah, so go watch some panels for PAX Online. That's what they're calling it, PAX Online. And we'll be back next week with
Before we go, just to self-promote a bit, because there's a lot of nonsense going on in the world. Part of what I wanted to do for fun, and I should have practiced this when this actually started, is I'm doing like the Ultimate Video Game Movie Bracket Tournament on Twitter. So I'm just kind of like it's a 32 video game movies. It's not all of them because there was not enough 64. But I mean, don't do brackets like 40 is an odd number. I mean, this week we're finishing up round 2. Which is the Sweet 16, I guess. And then next week we'll have the top 8 video games. And ultimately the point is that by the end of September, or I assume, right, because I'm going to run out of things to vote on, the end of 2 weeks from now, we'll have a
Mortal Kombat winner. Will finally be...
Well, it's weird because Mortal Kombat has squeaked by so far. So I was surprised.
Here, some of the picks here, Jeff, are hysterical.
I feel like Silent Hill is going to be some super hit that ends up winning it.
I have no investment in this really because I think I don't really care like. Most video game movies are bad, but like yes. I'd say Silent Hill is like one of the best ones for sure. You don't think so?
It's fine.
Like for a video game movie, it feels like it's almost like art. Like,
yeah, like okay, I can kind of grant you that for a video game movie.
Yeah, it almost feels like a real movie, like something that could have been conceived outside of like being based on a video game.
That should go into box art. It could. It feels like it could have been a real movie.
I do like the original Resident Evil.
Yeah, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Since I have it open to read off the entire list of contenders. And this was that, and I didn't want to bother ranking them, so it's just literally in order of highest Rotten Tomatoes score to the lowest one. We started off with Angry Birds 2. Detective Pikachu, Sonic the Hedgehog, Tomb Raider, Rampage, Mortal Kombat, Final Fantasy The Spirits Within, Tekken, Prince of Persia, Resident Evil, Dead or Alive, Silent Hill, Resident Evil The Final Chapter, Warcraft, Double Dragon, Super Mario Brothers, Need for Speed, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, which is the Angelina Jolie one. I don't know why it's named that, but whatever. Ratchet and Clank, Doom, Assassin's Creed, Max Payne, Hitman, The King of Fighters, Wing Commander, Street Fighter, Alone in the Dark, Post Doom, Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li, Blood Rain, In the Name of the King, Dungeon Siege, and House of the Dead.
There's a lot of
there's a lot of quality there.
Can you read it one
day? Terrible, terrible movies. So many bad movies.
Oh.
I have, sadly enough, I think I've seen 31 of these. I think the only one I have not seen.
Oh, don't. I have seen it. Don't.
I've heard that. Oh, wait, no. I've never seen Final Fantasy and Spirits Within. I've seen 30 of them.
That Final Fantasy The Spirits Within is better than Alone in the Dark. It's not good, but it's much better. Yeah, this is fun. This has been fun to vote on every day. So help her all out next week. Vote on the Sweet 16.
Yes, and let's see how far we can get. I'm very curious because like some of these, I will be honest. Some of these picks were much different than I expected the way they would go. Like, I was surprised Wing Commander beat out Tekken. But I must be one that...
It had Freddie Prinze Jr., though, I mean...
Yeah, I assume people have seen Tekken and haven't seen Wing Commander, and they're just voting against one. That is my working theory.
Wing Commander's bad. I've never seen Tekken, so I did vote for Wing Commander. But Wing Commander is bad.
Yes, I enjoy Tekken. I and I've said it before. Fighting games make really interesting movies because like the concept is simple enough not to screw up. You just have a bunch of people fight in a tournament setting, and I'm gonna say you don't screw it up, and then Street Fighter happened. But I enjoy Street Fighter, so
I mean, fighting game movies should literally just be Bloodsport.
That's all you have to make. Yep.
And that's kind of what, Mortal Kombat goes for the old Hong Kong thing. And then DOA, I forget what DOA does, but I remember enjoying it. King of Fighters, I do not remember enjoying. So I might have to revisit that because I hate myself.
Well, help Earl out. His Twitter is in the show notes. So it's fun. It's a fun little video game thing to do. And speaking of video game movies, but one that maybe not fun. I watched that Max Reload and the Nether Blasters, which starred Kevin Smith.
I have never heard of this.
Yeah. don't.
Don't. Just close your ears. Just pretend that he's not saying anything right now. Protect yourself.
Avoid that one. It is not based on a video game. It is set inside a video game.
Can we just say that somehow those can end up being worse? A gamer's really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Pixels isn't set in a video game. The video games come out of it.
Well, that's also similar to this, right? It's an old Atari cartridge that is trying to take over the world.
Okay, that's... yep.
It's a cool concept. It is it is not, like, it's... go watch some of that. Go watch some of the movies on Earl's list. They are better.
Earl, go watch Brain Damage. Chris, go watch Brain Damage.
It is on my list of movies to watch in October.
Yeah.
So, was you the one who mentioned, or somebody mentioned the one about the video game movie from the 90s?
Brain Scan.
Brain Scan, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be hard to find. Oh, you could probably rent it. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, if you've never seen it, you should watch it. I'm surprised. I think we talked about this in our, chat or whatever. No one's seen that, right? Like, Chris, you haven't seen Brain Scan?
Oh, this is the one with the weird guy with the red hair. No, yeah. I have not seen this one.
What the fuck, dude? Like, I don't remember it being, a big hit or anything, but I remember, I don't know. I remember when I saw it, I was like, oh my god, they made a movie about me. A fucking little horror, little horror nerd who loves video games. Like, you know, like, it was cool at the time. Like, I was super in love with the movie when it first came out. Like, watching it now, it's like, I don't know. It's pretty weak, but That holds a special place in my heart. I can't believe you guys haven't seen that, dude. Yeah, watch Brain Scan. Do Brain Damage and Brain Scan.
Brain Damage is the other video game movie?
No, Brain Damage has nothing to do with video games. It's just a fucking silly horror. Earl was looking for horror movie recommendations, and I threw that at him.
The other one we had mentioned, I think, during that conversation was Stay Alive, which is the one where like, you play a video game, and if you die in a video game, you die in a real world.
Huh. Yes. That I've seen that one. I don't remember it being good.
So Brain Scan is like this kid buys a video game and it's like kind of like virtual reality, but like it looks exactly like real life. Like, you know, it doesn't look like a video game at all. And he's like killing people in the game. And it's like, oh, it's happening in real life. You know, like you're actually killing the person. I don't know. It's at the time it was amazing. You had to be there.
Frankie Muniz is in Stay Alive.
Frankie Muniz shows up everywhere. He was just in Sharknado 4, so or 3.
Fair. Sophia Bush, I think I've heard that name before. She's in it as well, as is a creepy guy Adam Goldberg. Anyway, go watch the video game movies, or don't.
Or not.
Maybe go play some good games.
Yes, play video games and watch real movies. That's what you do.
Yeah. There's plenty of real movies out there as well. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.